is up there on the, at the right hand of the throne. The Holy Spirit is God on earth. And if we want to do God's works, we're going to have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We have to get to know Him.
And the book of Acts, the 28 chapters of Acts, which I've encouraged you to reread, and I'm rereading. I went through it over the last week, and there's 68 references, 67 in the NIV, 68 in the New American Standard, to Spirit or Holy Spirit, that word. And so I've picked the best out of those, because really the best or the most, you know, we couldn't do 68, you know what I'm saying? I'd be feeding you dinner at the end. And if you've got some loaves and fish, we'll see what we can do. Are you with me? He's the same, isn't he? But let's have a look. Let's go through these. There's going to be a couple of pages of this, but I want you to watch this, because now we're going to see, we're going to teach just for a little bit on how the Holy Spirit works in the book of Acts and what He does and how important He is. Are you ready? Can you all see that screen? So Acts 1, right at the beginning, Jesus was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. So there's 12 apostles. Actually, at that point, there's 11, and then they vote somebody else in. And He gives instructions to them. How did He do that? Through the Holy Spirit. You'd kind of think that Jesus would just know, because He was the Son of God. But He needed the Holy Spirit to guide and to instruct. He was dependent on the Holy Spirit in His life and ministry. In fact, if you read it, for 30 years, Jesus did no miracles, healed nobody, no cancers, no headaches, no people that can't have children giving birth, nothing for 30 years, and He was Jesus. It only started when the Holy Spirit came on Him. And it'll only start for us when the Holy Spirit comes on us. And for those who have the Holy Spirit on us, which would be many of us, we have to engage in a meaningful relationship with Him in order to release His power into the world around us. The second one, Acts 1:5, John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have italicized that because of that reference, baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Everyone say power. And everyone say on you. The Holy Spirit in you is when you get born again. The Holy Spirit on you is a separate thing, baptized in the Holy Spirit or empowered with the Holy Spirit. And that, both of those are works of the Holy Spirit. They're complementary, but they're different. We'll keep going through here. And notice this now. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be blessed and have a great house and a happy life. Is that what it says? What does it say, somebody? You'll be my first thing to God. First thing is witness, shine, bring Him. Not just talking about Him, oh, I'm a nervous Christian. No, full of life and full of power, dispelling darkness, bringing joy, healing sick bodies, casting out devils. That doesn't mean that every demon-possessed person in your house, and I know you've probably got a few, but it doesn't mean that all of them are just going to run to you. But what it means is that you're a carrier of power, and He wants you to shine your light for Him. And that's fundamental to the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, just like a drill bit, you know, everyone's seen, who remembers Drill Bit Taylor? There was an inspirational high IQ film. No, nobody's seen it. Lachlan, we've seen it, haven't we? Drill Bit Taylor. Ah, Owen Wilson. It was great, you know, if you like those kind of things. I had fun with it anyway. So a drill bit, right? The purpose of a drill bit is to attach it at the end of the drill and drill through whatever you want to drill, and you create the hole that you're wanting to create. Got me? That's the whole purpose of the drill. Now, you can have the drill bit, but if you don't attach it to a drill and use it, it may look nice, but it ain't doing anything. It's not doing what it was created to do. That's kind of like that with the baptism of the Holy Spirit on us. He's going to put power on us so that we'll be witnesses. And if He puts power on us, but we don't go ahead and start drilling, we don't start being witnesses, we don't start doing it, then it might look nice, but it's actually ineffective. And for a lot of Christians, it's that way, because we didn't realize that actually the power of the Holy Spirit primarily is on us to bring Jesus to other people. See, Jesus loves people very, very much. And it's not difficult to impact people for Jesus. Some of us think that, But that's a lie that you bought into. It isn't difficult. It's very easy. It's completely natural to you since he lives inside of you. Are you with me? So let's go on to this next one. You'll be witnesses. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, italicized because it's the same thing as baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's talking about exactly the same experience. And they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. So that is one of the most powerful things that the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit does for you, enables you to speak in other languages. People call them tongues, not really a good term, but I get it. But it really means other languages, a prayer language. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And over the next week, if there's anybody in our church that's not empowered by the Holy Spirit and praying in other languages, we're going to get you going with that next week. It's going to be awesome. Let's go to the next page here. Acts 2:17-18, in the last days God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters, this is what's going to happen. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Anybody here ever prophesied? Lift your hand if you've ever prophesied. Okay, good. That's healthy. And if you haven't, then you can. Just nudge the person next to you and say, you can do that. Normal for Christian life. What we're doing is we're kind of redefining a little bit, actually, what the church is according to the book of Acts and how important the Holy Spirit is in all this. So you're going to prophesy. Your men, young men will see visions. How many young or old men or women have ever seen a vision? Just lift your hand if you've seen a vision. Awesome. That's normal. That's what happens. And the nearer to God we are and the fuller of the Holy Spirit we are, the more that stuff happens. And so your old men will dream dreams. How many of us here ever dreamt a dream? You had a dream from God. Oh, and didn't you have an awesome vision on Wednesday night? Yeah, why don't you come out here and share that? This is just great. This was really cool. So Owen, like he said himself, on Wednesday night in our Activate, we had just so much fun. And the Gibbses put on so much food that I'm just trying to get people to come regardless, you know. Even if you don't like God at all. And just come and get a glass of wine, some nice cheese. And Olivia, Kate and Olivia are great chefs. And Haley brings food along. So you've got to go and see her afterwards and say, listen, I heard you're a good cook. When am I coming over for dinner? That kind of thing, you know. It's an Australian kind of a style. Invite yourself ministries. And no. So we were there and Owen says, just having fun. Is it all right to have fun in church? Okay with that? Yeah. And so Owen says, now I'm not given to these things, which he isn't, but he had like a really clear vision and just share it for us. Yeah.
The funny thing is you just said something just a few minutes before you called me up and it came back to me and now I can't remember what it was. But on the night, we were praying and we were talking about the issues for the individual Christian going out and being bold, like Pastor Paul was just talking about being bold. And anyway, we were praying and it came to me in a flash. We were stood in a room and Jesus is there with a fork and he's feeding us. And as I'm being fed, I turn around, I pick up a fork, and I start feeding others. And as they're being fed, kind of Jesus comes through, and they are then being fed by Jesus, who turns around and feeds others. Anyway, that was how it started. And then I got this other vision, which was, we are fed, but we don't feed others. In fact, what we tend to do is that we fight. And I saw, what I actually saw was people fighting on the floor for scraps because it's all about me. Whereas the first vision was about God, you, others, this was about me. And so because you didn't think that there was enough there, because you didn't really believe in God, because you didn't, you know, you're fighting for scraps.
At that point, you're not then getting fed by Jesus? No.
You're scraping around on the ground. That's right. And it was actually really sordid. It upset me actually, and it still I find it upsetting because the feeling was that is how I and Christians in general behave. And perhaps it was because of the teaching that we were being given by Pastor Paul and Pastor Caroline at the time. But I felt very convicted. We are being fed, to feed others. God feeds us so that we then go out and feed. And as we prosper, they prosper. But the reality is fighting on the floor for scraps. My time, my money, I don't have enough, and what have you. And that is not the way it should be. That's not what we were built for. We were built to be huge. We were built to feed the world through Christ. And this is what Activate on Saturday, for me, was all about. I've been fed and I've been fed and I've been fed through this house. It's time for me to actually do what I was meant to be. It's the drill bit. That's what it was. It was the drill bit. I'm a drill bit and I'm not attaching myself to the drill in order to make the hole that God has made me to be or to do.
Awesome. That's great, isn't it? Isn't that great? So that's one of the ways the Holy Spirit speaks to us by vision. And that's why we want to encourage you, you know, just to be part of what God is doing. Saturdays, Friday nights, youth, Wednesday nights, Activate. Carols, singing carols, who knows? Lean's organizing the carols, Lou's helping her. You never know, you might get a vision while you're singing a carol. And you might go into a nursing home and pray for a sick lady and see her recovered. Wouldn't that be awesome? Carrie and I have been visiting people, laying hands, and we're doing that so that we can train you how to do it, because there are 50,000 people that need help and we're not going to reach them all, but you are. Just nudge the person next to you and say, you're part of that. That's how it works. Amen. Good. So that's a great vision. So the Holy Spirit gives visions. Your old man will dream dreams. Look at Acts 2:38. We'll just go through these another 5 minutes or so. I want you to absorb, though, this teaching aspect of what we're doing. Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Or as my Baptist pastors say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the same thing that was called the baptism in the Holy Spirit before, and it's the same thing that was called filled with, they were all filled with the Spirit. It's referring to the same thing. It's not referring to being born again. Otherwise, he'd use the term born again, which he uses and is used right through the New Testament and in Jesus' ministry. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the next one, and this is an important one, Acts 4:29 to 31. Now, Lord, consider their threats. So here's all the people. This is the picture. They're all preaching. They're going out in the streets. They're healing sick bodies, and the authorities of the day, the religious authorities, are saying, cut this out. No Jesus. We're not going to. The first time they put him in jail, which is this time, they get out of jail. They're warned, don't do it again, right? We'll let you out of jail, but don't preach this Jesus business around here. Now, Lord, they run straight back to church. Everyone say, back to church. A lot of people, when they get persecuted and things go wrong, they run away from church. Sometimes that's because church has not been very nourishing and encouraging. And when they've got a hole in their life or a piece missing or they've messed up, they feel like they're going to come to church and get judged. And that pastor's going to say, you naughty Christian, you shouldn't have done that. Now you have to be under discipline and da-da-da-da-da, instead of a shepherd that loves the sheep and you binds up your wounds and heals your broken knee and looks after you. Are you with me? That's the kind of church we believe in. Do you think you could be those kind of people for the people around us? Do you think we could? Because wouldn't that be awesome? Because the best thing in the world is when things are going tough, you run to God. It's kind of counterintuitive to our old, you know, old kind of thinking, because that's when you need the help. And when you've blown it a bit, you know, you're involved in a relationship you shouldn't be, you know, you're getting drunk, you know, too often, and you know it's a bit out of control, your money isn't what it should be, you know, you've got a, your prayer life is really not there really at all, you're getting very, whatever, those things happen, folks. Maybe you axe murdered some people. All right. So, but I'm just saying that, you know, in my life, in ministry, in doing this like as a paid person for 25 years, I've run into most things. So I had a couple. I had a woman who was later in the newspaper and exposed as a fraud who came to us in the church that I was in, and I was part of the pastoral team there. And pleading, I have no money, I have no nothing, I pray all the time for everybody. She'd sucked in some of the people in our church. And so you want to be smart and and get, you know, get the wisdom of people who have been around a little bit, because something wasn't right, and I could tell. So we quizzed her and we helped her, and she's got flat-chested because she's had breast cancer in both breasts, both been removed. And it's a tragic story, and there's this wrong, but she helps the lonely and she does all that. And she's got 10 or so people in the church praying for her and supporting her financially. And I have this home, but I have no bills. I have no way to pay the bills. And so, and so as a church, we then and we now are not in the habit of paying people's bills. We'll help you to prosper, though. Everyone say help. We'll help you to prosper. The best way through life is to figure out that you can do it yourself, because God's with you. And my job is to train you, teach you, help you, so that you get how God is with you and you make it work. Whereas if you get used to a handout, you're never going to grow. And all you need is 10 or 15 people that want a handout, and the church's money is gone, and we're not actually here to give handouts, even though we love people. We're actually here to bring the gospel. Amen? It's good preaching so far, I think. We're just warming up a little bit here, Christabel. We're warming up. So this woman comes in with all this story. Now, because of our, I made a way to pick up one of the bills through the church, because you're just compassionate and whatever. But I knew something wasn't sitting right. And then she came back another time and she wanted more money or whatever and all that. And I said, we're not doing it. We can't do it. And with all the compassion in my heart, but I said, we just can't. And she didn't like that, which always tells you there's something wrong. And she got very angry. And then she said, well, actually, I've got a tape recorder in my tape, and I've been recording this whole conversation, and I've got a lawyer, and we're all onto this, and you're doing the wrong thing. So I was a little bit nervous, because I was kind of in my early 30s. We had a lawyer on staff, part of our team, so I phoned him. I said, what are the chances? Did you say anything? I said, no, you know, nothing that I can think of that was a problem, so she's going to go to the newspaper. That all fizzled out into nothing, but it's not nice when you go through it. 10 or 15 people in the church got really disaffected because Pastor Paul has told this woman they're not helping this dear, poor woman that's had cancer and all these problems and, you know, had her, I think she had her hair torn out or something. There was a lot of tragic, it was a long time ago. And so, you know, what a mean guy. And so people get disaffected and they leave the church and all that kind of stuff. And then several years later, I've actually got the art newspaper clipping. Because she'd been trying this scam on all kinds of people everywhere. And she was finally caught out. The police got her. She'd never had breast cancer. She wore a special device to flatten her breast to make it look like she had. And the world is full of that kind of stuff, folks. The New Testament church was full of that. I had another couple that I married, right? I got them married. They actually, one of them was from England and the other one was from Australia. And they had been involved in planting a church, starting a church here with the group that I was with at the time. And they came back and they wanted to get married. And so that's part of what we do is pre-marriage counseling. And you walk through all this kind of stuff, you know, and you prepare people. But what we always encourage and what you'll find I encourage when I meet with you is let's build relationship. Let's be honest and let's love one another. Let's build trust. And unless you're willing to be vulnerable, you can't build any trust. And lots of churches, and we're different like that, lots of churches, it'll be all about on Sunday morning, well, yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, awesome, you're just awesome, brother, I've got a word for you, you're amazing, you're just incredible, you're so, oh, man, I'm blessed, I'm so blessed. And meantime, you're bleeding on the inside, you know, you're lonely, you're really annoyed, you know, you threw eggs at your husband yesterday because he wasn't happy with you or your wife or whatever, you know, but you come in and because we get this style of church, that's like, well, we've got to look a certain way. And I get that. I've been around church a long time. But we want to develop a different style of church, folks. That's not healthy for people. Because what happens is they live in, sometimes people are in church like that for 10 years, and this intimacy with the Holy Spirit and this authentic relationship and trust where I sit down with you and say, how are you really going? And you say, actually, I'm struggling a bit. And you think, oh, my God, the pastor's going to kick me out, you know, because I've been smoking and I actually do pot a little bit, you know, when I know I shouldn't. Like, it doesn't matter what mess you're in. We'll help you. Are you with me? But people hide that and then they suffer because there's no light. You're not letting any light in on it. So you've got to let light in. And people only let light into people that they trust. And that's why I make decisions in terms of who leads, like with Carrie and other people that are involved in leadership. It's very important in when you're leading a church, because I've been through lots of situations where people do the wrong thing, where people take money away from you. They give money to the church. We had lots of money once. We had, I think, £250,000. That's a lot of money. And put aside for a building until somebody got uppity, somebody didn't like something, thought it was wrong, gathered everyone else together. I don't know if we should be recording this, but anyone gathered everyone else together, went to the charity commission, said these people are doing the wrong thing, insisted on having the money back. We took advice from our elders. We took advice from other pastors. We took advice from legal people. And we spoke to them. We had to fly up to Liverpool to meet with the people. It's Bootle, I think, where they are, and talk through all that kind of stuff. And we said, look, this was committed. Here's the sign. Here's the paperwork. This is the commitment they made. So things have taken a bit longer than they hoped. Meanwhile, I've gone through a divorce. But let's not be too compassionate about that, you know. So anyway, they said, well, if you don't give it to us, we're going to take you to court. And so then we said, well, I can think of a Bible verse for that. It says, better to be wronged than start bringing out Christian messy washing in front of unsaved people. How's that going to help anybody? This is a kingdom thing. So that's what we did. So there I was with the trustees at the time, writing out and signing checks, and that the total, I think, not everybody wanted it, but most, you know, a significant majority. And so that was all done. And that's all part of life, you know. So if you've ever been ripped off, you've ever had a bad day, and I'm not mad at anybody. People are people. They do what they do. But due to those experiences, we try and make very prudent and wise decisions as to how we lead people, because I don't want people to go through unnecessary pain. And so there's always a proving process in terms of people that are part of the team and a part of what we do, because I'm entrusting people's welfare to you to some degree. Are you with me? And so anyway, lots of stories. I could tell you other stories, but my point here is that you run back to the people of God when the pressure's on. Doesn't matter how bad it is, run. Doesn't matter what time it is, you can phone. At night it'll probably be off, but probably won't. It'll probably be on silent. But we're just here to help people. We're here to love people. And we've got to build those kind of relationships. And a lot of people, sometimes Christians are the worst at actually being a little vulnerable and real in their relationships. Sometimes the guys that you work with that go down the pub and have a beer are more likely to talk about what they're doing wrong than the Christians. We would never, and you're not supposed to be perfect, but you are supposed to have authentic relationship. Are you with me? That's why we do things we do. Anyway, so here we go. They ran to the church. Now get this, they ran back. Now, Lord, and this is how they prayed. Now, Lord, consider their threats. So we're going to pray. We're getting persecuted. We're in jail for preaching the gospel. We're in jail for preaching the gospel. And they've threatened us, don't you dare preach the gospel again. How will we pray? How would you pray then? What would you pray then? Dear God, help us not to go to jail again. Dear God, help that our reputation isn't really bad. Help that our children don't get persecuted at school because we're part of this mob that are telling people about Jesus. Help us, you know, help nobody to steal my Reeboks and my iPhone. You know, how would we pray? Check how they prayed. This is astounding. Check how they prayed. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. They just got thrown in jail for speaking the word with boldness. And now they're saying, God, would you please enable us to speak the word with boldness? Is that how we pray? Do we sometimes wonder, does it make sense that the book of Acts mightn't quite be replicated yet in our lives because we don't pray that way? Because to be honest, there's a little bit of discomfort in there. There's a little bit of inconvenience in there. What a way to pray. Why did they do that? I would argue because what they'd experienced in Jesus was so awesome and they were so dedicated to him, and he said, go and preach that gospel, that it didn't matter what anybody said. That is one thing we're not going to abandon. And if it costs us our life, and it did cost some their lives, and for several hundred years after that, in the Anti-Nicene era, it costs many people their lives to stand up for Jesus. I think that the relative ease with which many of us in the UK live could really have a detrimental effect to our spiritual activity because it's just too comfortable. Are you with me? Just a thought. So, and look what happened. And another thing, speak your word with boldness and stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God. We all want the building shaking. Anyone like the building shaken? Come to church and say, yeah, that's so cool, the building shaken. But before the building shakes, you know, you get thrown in jail for preaching the gospel in the streets and you come back and you pray, God, get us more, anoint us more so we speak bolder and let signs and wonders come. And then the building shakes. Are you with me? All right, let's flip on to the next one. And actually, I'm going to finish here just because of time. I want to bring one other illustration to you before we close. Acts 5, verse 40 to 42. This is astounding. And this is similar to what we just talked about. So we're just talking about how the Holy Spirit works in Acts. So these guys don't shut down, right? They've been thrown in jail. These are the apostles. These are the leaders. And the people are following them. And Carrie and I are the leaders, and we're encouraging everybody. Let's just start a Jesus revolution. What do you say? Do you think he's worth it? Do you think people are worth it? I do. So we're going for it. And so they called in. So these guys keep preaching, right? They don't stop. And everybody and miracles are happening, and everyone's getting agitated. So they call them in again. And now what? Now they have them flogged. So I don't know if you've ever been flogged, or maybe you saw 12 Years a Slave. Did you see that movie? That's a moving movie. That's worth seeing. I mean, to see people mistreated and to see people flogged, that's what happened to these guys. How would you feel? They flogged me. Oh, pastor. We're not talking about get to church on time and bring tithes and offerings and be generous. This is talking about, pastor, they flogged me. I'm bleeding. They called the apostles in and they had them flogged. Then they ordered them, yet again, not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And the apostles went back and cried and said, I guess this is just a really, really hard nation and people are just not going to come to Jesus here. No matter how hard we try, some we prayed for didn't get healed. Some we spoke to didn't get saved. And now we've got all these crippling injuries and our backs are scarred. Some of us have got scarred faces and we'll never be as beautiful as we want it to be. My modeling career is over. They left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Everyone say rejoicing. Rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They considered Jesus so awesome, so high above every other thing. Not the amount of money I earn, not the number of businesses I run, not the perfect family that I have, not the lovely holiday that I make sure I get every year. And I'm not against those things. You know my heart. I'm not against those things. Not at all. You should be blessed. Your family should be blessed. You've got to take care of your family. What I'm saying is that we often fill our lives so much with other stuff that there's not a lot of room left for Jesus, and I would argue that he wants to be first place. And so he says they ordered him not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they left rejoicing because they've been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They saw it from heaven's standpoint, not from earth's standpoint. And then day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They just never stopped. Isn't that fantastic? We've got a dream, folks. And over there, Daniel, is in that bag. Can you just get one of those, actually two of those things out of there with me? I think there's, yeah, get two of those. And I would love it if someone could just help me and bring five chairs out the front here. Could someone do that? Owen might be able to do that. And you just put them in that front thing, Owen, and just down there. Yeah, five chairs like that all in a row. And just pop in there and we'll do a quick little visual because I want to show you. Okay, one, two, three, four, five. Awesome. Beautiful. Are you with me? And I want to close on this because here's the thing, you see. This is what we've got to catch. I'm motivated. I know that. I'm called to inspire people to give their lives to God. I know that. So I'm not your traditional pastor. I'm just wired differently to that. But I'm a good pastor because I care for people, and I'm a good leader because we are not going to compromise and shut down on God's great commission just because it got a little bit tricky or a little bit awkward or a little bit uncomfortable. And I want to inspire you to live that way. But I don't want you to feel, and this is the difference, many times in religion and religious churches and or people that have a kind of this strong sense of, you know, reaching the world, it becomes like a compulsion. It becomes like a law. It becomes like a, you know, if well, boy, these guys are really demanding. Like they want this and they want that. And that's not the spirit of it. This is what I believe, that the Holy Spirit inspired this whole shebang. That this wasn't a bunch of guys getting all worked up, saying, oh, we've got to do this, Daniel. We've just got to serve God. We've got to go harder. You've got to read the Bible more, man. You've got, yeah, we've got, you know, it's not that spirit at all. It's when the whole gift of the Holy Spirit gets on you. That's what he said, remember, in Acts 1? Did you remember that, Ethan, this little bit in Acts 1? And it says that when the Holy Spirit comes on you, power comes on you, and you'll be witnesses. The key is receiving all that the Holy Spirit has. And let me show you in this last little thing how that works. Carrie, I'd love you to bring these to me, okay? And we're going to just pretend for today that that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's a nice gift. Everyone likes Lindt chocolates. Just take that little wrapper off the bottom because, yeah, it looks a bit naff. I didn't get around to that. I'm quite particular with these things, you know. It's for the TV cameras. So I want you to watch now as we look at five different ways, common ways, and then we're done, on how people respond to the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because he's been poured out. You with me? And this is not about working yourself up. Work myself up, got to do this, got to, you know, oh, I can't look after my children properly and I can't have any peace and I can't have any time to myself because the church. It's not that spirit. It's not that spirit. I just want to walk with him. I believe you can walk with him, be full of him, and enjoy life as well. But he just wants to be first place, that's all. So watch this. This is so the Holy Spirit, Father comes and he gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is recipient number one. This is Christian number one. And so you kind of stand over there. So Christian number one is like this. And you're going to, Father, you're going to bring the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, Mother, God here, yeah? And because God is as much female as male. Did you know that? Yeah, just in case you weren't sure. Yeah. So, but this person says, no, I'm not worthy. And you keep trying to give it to me. We haven't trained, you can see that, can't you? Keep trying to, you know, no, I'm not worth, I'm too sinful. They just look so nice, but no, it's probably just me wanting it, not God wanting it. No, I can't. I'm too low. I know I couldn't. It would just be selfish for me. That's how some Christians are. And they think the more they say, they resist this beautiful thing, this is holy. Okay, that's Christian position number one. Christian position number two is like this. Try it again. And so I say, oh, wow, that looks good. Is that really for me? No, it couldn't be because I'm not. I just sinned yesterday. I did. I swore at somebody yesterday but it looks really nice. I don't think I could. I just don't know. And so that's Christian number two. That's called doubting or wavering. You got it in James chapter 1. 1 minute you think yes, then the next minute, oh, well, not really. And the next minute you think yes, and the next minute you think not really. And then the Bible says, don't let that person think they'll receive anything. So these are real ways that many of us think often. And then what happens is we don't receive the power and the grace of God. We don't walk with this awesome person. And then Christianity becomes this hard work thing of trying to be right and trying to do the right thing when you've actually got grace on you, anointing on you to enable you to do what you could never do. This is not a person trying to become a Christian. This is a person getting filled with the Spirit of Christ and naturally becoming what that Spirit is. So Christian number three is like this. He actually receives. I believe that's for me. I believe that's for me. Thank you so much. That's beautiful. Look at that. Man, that thank you so much, God. That's just so nice. You're just so nice to me, God. Thank you very much. It's lovely. Looks just looks wonderful. Thank you. And if I was hungry before, I'm hungry still. I received it, but I didn't really do anything with it. I never really acted on it. I never really opened it, this gift of the Holy Spirit. I never took part in it. And then we have Christian number four. And this Christian is like, yep. And they believe, they've been taught some faith. Yeah, I believe this is for me. Wonderful, thank you. Oh, that's great. Praise God, and this is for me. See, now it takes a little boldness to open and receive. A lot of Christians have real trouble with this. I'm just having a little trouble myself. And so this is great. This is well wrapped. No, this is my job to do. Father, you can't be helping with this. This is really my responsibility. And so one moves on. You can tell I didn't do a dress rehearsal, can't you? Just close your eyes. Oh, look at here they come. Here come the scissor brigade. Go. Thank you. So, right. So, I've got it. And the whole idea of gifts, right, is that you what? You enjoy. You partake. Isn't that right? You partake. So, now, well, I eat one. I move to the second. That's nice. I'm feeling better now. I know I shouldn't talk with my mouth full, but it's just like awesome. These are good, man, and wow, check them all. So I've got a bit of a taste. Excellent. Oh, that's good. You know, and see now that was the whole purpose all along. The first three guys didn't hardly they didn't taste a thing. A lot of Christians have never tasted a thing. And then the guys up this end that are tasting, they start saying there's something wrong with them. Why? Because you never tasted nothing. You're supposed to. It's normal. You're supposed to feel something. You're supposed to taste better. Life is sweeter with this. But here's the problem with number four. Hey, Dan, come on over here with me, bro. Tell me what's the latest on rugby. When are we going to the rugby? Yeah. Any games, good games coming up, though, that we can go to?
Oh, I'm not coming up.
No? Yeah. All right, mate. And tell me about those shoes, mate, because they're, like, awesome.
Thank you.
And mate, can I do you a trade? This one for that one?
I prefer to keep my own.
You want to keep your own? I want to get a pair like that. And have you seen Spectre yet?
Oh, not yet, no.
Got to go and see Spectre. What about we do that this afternoon?
Yeah, let me take you.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. And so thank you very much, Daniel. That was excellent. Give Daniel a hand. So what happened was, none of those things, particularly watching a rugby game, wearing a nice pair of shoes, getting a new iPhone, going and seeing Spectre, none of those are wrong. But when they occupy a large amount of my focus, I've kind of forgotten about this. So I tasted it a little bit, but then I got distracted. And in a church like ours, what you'd call a spirit-filled or charismatic church, maybe that's the more common problem. But like Owen's vision was before, if you do that and you're not really ever gain, you just had a little bit of a taste. And so it was nice, and I'm a Christian, and yeah, every now and then I dip in, I have a chocolate, feel a bit better. Pastor talks to me. You know, I phone the pastor, it's okay, visits me, he prays for me, but rest of the week I'm like, man, we got to grab a pizza, you know? And let's go and, you know, I need a wife, really, mate. Let's just go out somewhere, you know, like nice girls, not bad girls, and just go somewhere for where some nice ladies, and we'll just hang out and see what happens, you know. Maybe God, you know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. Christians are like that. And then you've got this guy, number five. This is where we want to be. Are you ready? Come on, God. So you better bring that one. We're going to do a little sleight of hand here. You won't see it happening. Bring them both, though. You won't see this happening. This will be so subtle. It'll be beautiful. So then she's just giving me one, like everybody else. But I take it. Christian number five takes it. Everyone say you got to take it. You got to receive it. You can't expect God to force it on you. He won't. My hand must receive. You've got to receive. A lot of Christians are in an ambient mode. Well, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. That's rubbish. Most of what God wants to happen doesn't happen at all because we don't do anything about it. We've got all the power in our hand. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. If we don't go to Staines, nobody goes to Staines. If we don't do something in our life day to day for Jesus, no one else is going to do it. Now you say, well, there are other Christians. Sure, there are other Christians. But if the Christians don't do anything, God's hands are tied. So you've got to be active. And so then I receive it. I'm pretending this. Yes. Oh, beautiful. And now I'm focused. Now I'm an eater. Now I am full of the Holy Spirit here. Right? Now, I got an overflow going here. My God. I've never tasted anything like this. It's incredible. Oh, hallelujah. You see, and I know Daniel's there, and I know he wants to, you know, go out for a pizza, but I'm just too focused on the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then, there's a bit you've got to get. Then you're so excited about this, you start giving it away. You see? And now you've got a bit. Wait, this is phase two. Oop. Look out. No! This is called revival, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, there we go. Whoa! That's it. Enjoy those. Don't lose them. And then the final phase is you go and get some more. Can you clip that? Clip it open. You go and get some more. This is the fun part of the message, but I hope you're getting the point. Look at Val. Look at those eyes. All right. Thank you very much. So you get more. Because there's more. Everyone say there's more. Now, who limited how much I got? I limited how much I got. As soon as I say, oh, that's enough, I don't need any more, then it's much more difficult to give much to anybody else because I don't have much more. But if I go back to God and I say, listen, God, I want more, what do you think he says? No, we're limited. No, he says, here's more. And then you're just bringing it everywhere. And you're chewing like, you got to try this, man. This is like, oh. You got to like, go. And Evie, look at that. Look, oh, yeah, go on, have a few. Go on. Oh, yeah. Go on, here we go, folks. Go on. Are you going to, you're not a resistor, are you, sister? No. Don't be a resistor, sister. Go, Val, that's it. Get a couple. So, there we go. Here we go at the back. Look. Oh, there's all the workers. Oh, praise God. Even for half Romanian, half Hungarian, we will do it. We will do it. And so now listen. All right, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now I hope. I know that it's exciting. Have a bit of chocolate. There you go, Sam. Hang on a minute. You got one? I know that, you know, these Lindt chocolates are exciting. And that cost me a couple of quid to do that. But it's worth it. Did you agree? It's worth it. Isn't it better to taste and eat than just to sit and watch somebody else eating? See, that's the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is an experience you're supposed to taste and eat. And it's so easy for us in our lives, even as Christians that go to church and love God, you know, to get so focused on the other things. Well, people like me, and is my new haircut good enough? And have I got cool enough shoes? And I haven't, you know, everyone's seen the new Bond movie except me. I better see that. And our lives chock up And we end up with the sweetest of all gifts and the thing that you're really looking for and the thing that smart people in the Bible were ready to lay down their life for, to bring Jesus. I'm all for having fun at Christmas. I'm all for having a party. I'm all for going and seeing Spectre or whatever. Carrie and I saw The Martian recently, and that was fun. That was pretty cool. It was kind of uplifting. We almost cheered at the end. It was quite nice, really. Typical American film, you know, but with Ridley Scott, English, ex-English, still English, English director. And so I love all that, but I know it's so easy. And I'm speaking as a leader that's done this for a long time. It's so easy for other stuff to consume our interests to the point where we just get a little bit of a nibble here and then and we just chip through. And I want to challenge you that this morning, God has stuff for you to eat that tastes better than anything this world can offer. That's why the apostles lived the way they did. And as we receive the Holy Spirit, so I want you to keep that picture in your mind. Don't be a resistor. Don't doubt. Don't think you're not worthy. Don't take it and then never open it, never taste it. It's for you. Enjoy it. And then when you taste it, then start sharing it with your friends. It comes naturally. It's not like a technique. Well, I must start witnessing. I must start sharing the chocolate. You know, it happens naturally when you start eating something you like and you've got friends that you want to bless. Happens naturally. And that's the way. And that's how you have revival. You have 50 people handing out street chocolates like this down the street in Staines. We'll cause a fuss. And we may use that as a little, you know, analogy for people one day like we did this morning. But the point is the real treasure is this person called the Holy Spirit who will bring life out of you like you wouldn't believe. Who, when you get close to him, every fear is dispersed, every anxiety disappears. You start to sense like you've got value. Fears are conquered. Right decisions come naturally to you. It's just like the Lord said in the book of Revelation. He'd rather that we were cold than lukewarm. Hot is best of all. But let's never be lukewarm. Let's never have a little dip and then get into everything else. Let's be consumed with the best God has for us. What do you say? Can we pray together? And I'd love you to lift your hands. And I'd love all of us to pray out loud like this. Say, dear Holy Spirit, it seems there's more to you than I've understood. And I want to taste of you more. I reach out my hands and I grasp that which you've provided. Fill me fuller than ever before. Holy Spirit, come near to me. I'm going to treasure you. Amen. Praise God. God bless your church. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Praise God. It's good to have fun. But most important, it's best to eat strong of God. Be God's people. We're going to have the rest of those nice chocolates upstairs. Oh, we're going to take an offering, aren't we? We're going to receive an offering for Pakistan, for our work in Pakistan. So let's get ready to do that. And or should we do that next week, do you think? Would that be better? Just because we've kind of focused on this. We'll do that next week. We've got a Love Our Church update coming as well, so we'll be talking about that. But I think that's enough. We'll do that next week. Thanks, guys. And we'll inspire you. So come prepared next week to bless them in Pakistan. Will you do that? You with me? And every time you eat a Lindor chocolate, you remember how precious the Holy Spirit is. God bless you. Have